I got a bad feeling about this.
I got my eye on the three of you guys. You pull one thing, you're out of this game. Now I run a clean game here. I have any trouble, I'll suspend you. I'm listening to a fucking song!
Hi folks, welcome to the Blown Call this week. In this episode, my thoughts on the independent wrestling scene in Edmonton over the last month, my thoughts on the build-up to WrestleMania, predictions on the card, and my top 10 unique WrestleMania favorites. All that and a very special announcement about the Leo Burke Cup coming up. It is Thursday, March 26, 2015. Thank you very much for joining me this week. I am Mike the Ref. First of all, I want to thank everyone for joining us on these podcasts here with the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. Without your guys' support, without you guys downloading the podcast, listening to us, and giving us your feedback, this show would not be possible. Now, don't forget, you can like and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. You can like us on Facebook. Please share it on Facebook. It seems like that's the biggest way to pass on the information to everyone. It's facebook.com/EdmontonSPN. Without you guys, it wouldn't be possible for us. So once again, thank you from the bottom of my heart. And with that, I have a very, very special announcement to make here. As everyone should well know right now, the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network is the voice for the Leo Burke Cup presented by Monster Pro Wrestling on Saturday, May 2nd, from the Alberta Avenue Hall in Edmonton, Alberta. Last week, we had an episode talking about Leo Burke himself, who will be in attendance. The special announcement for this week, we have received notification in regards to another legend that will be present at the show. The first legend we want to announce. This man was a figurehead in Stampede Wrestling, and to me, his interactions with Ed Whalen during interview time were absolutely classic. This man was a manager to stars such as Don the Rock Morocco, Harley Race, Duke Myers, Jerry Morrow, Bad News Allen, The Dynamite Kid, Jason the Terrible, and Cuban Assassin, amongst others. Even though he was 5'3" and 150 pounds, his mouth seemed to be about 3 miles wide, and English wasn't exactly his best thing, but he thoroughly entertained anybody that was around him. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Leo Burke Cup, May 2nd, the second legend we wish to announce that will be in attendance, straight from Beirut, Lebanon, manager Abu Weasel. I cannot wait to see him, and I want to see if I can get some English out of him sometime during that show there. So it'd be rather amazing if I could actually get a chance to talk to him here. We'll see how that goes. All right, folks, it's time for me to get into the show now. First topic I want to talk about this week, my quick topic, is the increase in talent in the independent wrestling scene in Edmonton over the last month. Now, folks, I've been going to indie shows in Edmonton for the better part of 2 years. I'll admit I was first a WWE guy. My old show on Block Talk Radio pretty much stuck with TNA and WWE exclusively. I didn't get out as much to the independent shows as I really should have at that point. But now I'm definitely hooked on them. Now, the cards have been good for a while now, but in the last month, it seems that everything has been taken up to the next level here. From the Monster Pro Wrestling show at the Kingsway Legion at the beginning of March, to the Gold Rush event from RCW, to the anniversary show for PWA. It seems like everybody is taking an extra step up right now. It really shows in the product. Some of the changes that have been made in the rosters have helped, but also at the same time, it's just the caliber of competition has seemed to get up, and everybody seems to be doing a lot better than what they have in recent months. little twinges such as the addition of Colton Kelly to PWA, J.J. Spade in MPW, and guys like Bobby Sharp added to the RCW roster just seemed to add everything up to an extra level of excitement. One guy that I'm extremely excited for is Gabriel Lestat over at PWA. Just seems that he fits in so perfectly with that roster and the way that he acts out there. So I can't wait to see what the next month, 2 months, and so on is going to be for the Edmonton wrestling scene. Makes me sort of embarrassed the fact that I haven't got out as much as I should have in recent years. But that is my chat on the independent wrestling scene here, folks. If you have any comments or you want anything added in to any of our shows, please email me at theblogcallshow@gmail.com or my Twitter account is @MikeTheRef. It's not hard to remember, folks. So, all right, folks, let's get into the WrestleMania part of this show because it is definitely WrestleMania week, folks. To me, this is the Super Bowl. I know personally I have taken off Sunday and Monday off from work for WrestleMania. I'm sorry, it's more like Christmas to me. So we're just, I'm just a big fan of the product more than anything. So first thing I want to talk about here is the build up to WrestleMania. Now, there have been some good points, but there have been some real stinker points. I'm sort of the opposite feeling of what Andre C. is at his Wrestling Clarity show and on our WrestleMania podcast. I think overall it has been a decent buildup for what it needs to be. People need to remember that this is a WWE Network presentation, not just an $80 pay-per-view presentation. You don't need to overdo it to get a fair turnout in this. One buildup I really did enjoy is the Seth Rollins, Randy Orton buildup here. Now, I know Andre, when he was talking about how Orton should have just came in, cleaned everybody out, and faced the consequences for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Based on Randy Orton's character, I could see him doing more of this get inside the head of everybody and when everybody least expects it, then he strikes. That's been his motif for years, and he played it to the absolute letter when it came to the buildup for this match here. He let Orton believe that, or Orton let Rollins believe that he was part of the authority, that he really wanted to be a part of the team. And then once he made Rollins think that he was more important. Sorry, folks, a little bit of ginger ale in the system here. Now, the more that Orton allowed Rollins to think that he was more important than having the rest of the authority around, to the point where all the authority disappeared, then he could get a one-on-one and rip him apart. I love the way this is set up right now. You didn't need the beatdown from Orton. That could happen at WrestleMania, but we'll get into that in our prediction section here. When it comes to the Battle Royal, you don't expect a whole lot of buildup for it because it's just everybody else getting involved. So they've had a little bit of Damian Mizdow, Miz set up in there. Don't really need a whole lot of buildup for it. So that went straightforward. AJ Lee Page against the Bella Twins. Now, they set this one up about as well as they needed to on Monday with Page getting the title match over AJ Lee after they decided Page could get it. That AJ inadvertently interferes and costs Page the match, causing the sibling rivalry, yada, yada, yada. We've seen this gimmick before. A lot of people don't pay attention to this match. I feel it's going to be a match of the night candidate, but I see that they built this one just about right. The tag team title match, they really couldn't do a whole lot with because, let's face it, you didn't know if the Usos were going to be in it for sure or not just because of Jimmy's injury there. I wish they would have developed a tag team title match, period, and then they could add in the Usos later saying, we deserve it. We deserve it. We're the best team, yada, yada, yada. I use that term a lot. But the fact that the tag team division is getting snubbed a little bit just the way that they're treating it, I really don't like how that's set up there. So Bray Wyatt and The Undertaker, I'm going to say middle of the road in terms of how this has been set up. Bray can only do so much when he's by himself, but he's done a hell of a job trying to take care of it by himself. The voiceover on Undertaker accepting the match was enough to say that he's going to be around, but I don't know what kind of shape he's going to be in outside of the pictures I've seen trolling all over the internet. So the mystery about how the Undertaker is going to be is the interesting point here, folks. Is he going to be in 100% shape? Is he going to be in the shape to compete properly in this match? That's what everybody's wondering. So the way they set it up is actually not bad. The Intercontinental title ladder match. Now, I remember how the way this has been set up, I remember this similar to WrestleMania 10, where the belt was stolen, claimed by somebody else, and they ended up making a duplicate title and having a ladder match to settle the problem here. The only difference with this is somebody stole the title. They're not making another one, but somebody stole the title and they're just claiming who has possession. Barrett has the belt now, which he gave up to Kane on Monday. But I like how this has been set up to the point where nobody really knows who's going to get the belt. And I have a very surprising thought about who's going to win this one here. So the United States title match, this has been about as well built as you're going to get it. Rusev being the Russian that dominates everybody, and the way they finished last month with the low blow to Cena and then him passing out in the accolade. The way they've set it up after that is where I don't get it. There should be somebody stepping in saying, look, this wasn't right. We're going to reschedule a match at WrestleMania. Not having Cena having to pull that whole, I'm going to pass you out, wake you up, pass you out. And then Lana says that we're going to accept a match. It made Lana look really weak. And it made Rusev, well, you saw during the contract signing, there was no Lana there. So I could just imagine if no Lana shows up at WrestleMania, how many people are actually going to give a damn about that match? Now, the one build-up I'm really on the fence about. I like the build-up, but I don't like one simple point on it. Triple H and Sting. I like how they're building this up being the old regime versus the new regime, even though Triple H is an ancient wrestler too. But the fact that they won't mention Sting was even in the indies for the last 14 years, that disturbs me. I know you don't want to acknowledge your competition, but at the same time, you need to. People aren't dumb anymore. People know where he's been, and the fact that you won't even acknowledge that he was in an inferior product, that to me embarrasses me quite a bit in terms of the buildup for this match. And now, finally, the match that WWE officials are actually probably scared for. The WWE World Heavyweight Title match, Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns. Now, the reason I say officials might be scared for it is the fact that it looks like Lesnar's coming out as a babyface right now and Reigns is the heel. Everybody thinks that, well, I'm not going to say everybody, but you get what I mean. Everybody talks about how Reigns has just been handed this spot following his injury. It did really earn the spot that he got for winning the Royal Rumble match. Everybody thinks it should be either Ziggler or Bryan or somebody who's worked a little bit more in the business in order to get that spot. But this is McMahon's guy, and so be it there. Other than that, I think they've done everything they can with what they have. The one bonus, and the reason I think this is going to be a Lesnar as a face through the whole thing, is the announcement this week that Brock Lesnar re-signed with WWE, going up on SportsCenter, getting that coup to be on there. Most people think that it was not intentional for ESPN to broadcast that because they thought that they were getting an announcement that Brock Lesnar was signing with the UFC. I love how they swerved that a bit, and I like how it settled out that way. Overall, I do expect this to be a not bad card. It should have its bright spots here, but when you think that the Divas match might be one of the bright spots, as much as I appreciate real women's wrestling, and I do believe that all four of these girls are at a point where they are rather strong now, I think that this card is strong enough that it should have another match that could be another spot higher on it. So what are your thoughts on the build up to WrestleMania? Please let me know in the comments below, or I've mentioned already the other ways to get a hold of me here. So before I get to my predictions here, folks, I just want to give a shout out to Mr. Andre C, who is either A, studying very hard, trying to figure out what my predictions are, or B, studying for his finals in school right now. So he won't be here for his preview for next week. I'd rather give you a little tidbit and a little snippet, because it was very special for me to be a part of this. Next week on Andre C's Wrestling Clarity Show, he's going to be talking about the PWA anniversary show that just happened at the Northgate Line Senior Center this past Saturday. As well, I had the opportunity with Andre C to sit down with Real Canadian Wrestling superstars Steven Styles and Cujo. It was a great interview. What I would like to do right now is give you a small clip of the show. Guys, watching you guys in the ring, you typically your matches end up being a little more of the hardcore nature, a little more of the violent nature. I assume you guys enjoy that kind of atmosphere while you're in the ring, or?
I enjoy it because, you know what, there's so many great young wrestlers that can go 300 miles an hour, like an Andrew Hawks, a Kamikaze, a Mad Ecstatic. I'm 300 pounds and 6 feet tall. I'm not coming off that top rope. I'm coming in there to hit you and hit you hard and make it hurt. So if it takes going through a table, chairs, barbed wire, glass, it doesn't matter. I can wrestle, but I'm here to brawl. So I prefer more of the edgier, violent, hard-hitting wrestling. As I grew up on the Stampede Wrestling, you know, Stampede Wrestling, every Saturday night you saw, you know, hard-hitting to the nail wrestling. The way wrestling's supposed to be, traditional, hard-hitting wrestling.
All right, folks, you're going to be able to hear a lot of that and much more on the Wrestling Clarity next Wednesday with Andre C. But with that, get your pens out, folks, because I know you want the right answers here. I'm about to give my predictions for the WrestleMania card. Now, don't forget, folks, we also do have a WrestleMania contest, which I will give you more details about after the predictions that I give here. All right, first of all, Seth Rollins versus Randy Orton. I could see this match going on right at the beginning of the card, folks. If you see it at the beginning of the card, you better prick up your ears, because there's going to be something special going on later on in the evening, but I'll get to that later on. I think Orton gets the win here just because of the circumstances that are going to be set up at the end of the night. Rollins isn't going to be really focused on this match, and it's going to show when Orton beats the holy hell out of him. So give Orton the victory here. From there, I'm going to move on to the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Miz, Curtis Axel, Ryback, Fandango, Adam Rose, Zack Ryder, Jack Swagger, Titus O'Neil, Darren Young, Big Show, Cade, Eric Rowan, Damian Mizdow, Sin Cara, Goldust, Heath Slater, Mark Henry, and the winner of the NXT Battle Royal. For those that don't know, they're having a Battle Royal Saturday with all the NXT stars to see if somebody can get into the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Now, folks, picking a winner on this, usually in a Battle Royal, the one thing you could cross off is anybody that has a rivalry with anybody else in that ring. So, essentially, you're knocking out Big Show, Kane, Miz, Mizdow, Goldust, because he has Stardust in there. Then you're going to knock out all the other little guys that are in there. So Heath Slater, Mark Henry, as much as he is a little guy now. Zack Ryder, Adam Rose, Fandango, Jack Swagger, Titus O'Neil, Darren Young, Sin Cara, all those guys pretty much gone here. My pick for the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal is Ryback, because they want to push him into the next level and they want to find somebody to give a rivalry with. And my dark horse for that, and I know that Andre C is going to hate me because I'm copying his dark horse. My dark horse is going to be the winner of the NXT Battle Royal, whether it be Adrian Neville, Sami Zayn, any of those guys that come out of there, if they need a big push to get to the top, I pick one of those guys. So Ryback, and then the dark horse will be the winner of the Battle Royal. So I keep it open there. The next match, AJ Lee and Paige versus the Bella Twins. After what happened on Raw, and basically I'm looking forward to the Raw after WrestleMania, because that seems to be one where a lot of the action happens as well there. I don't think they're going to have two major title changes on that card, just because they had that last year, and it, while it did take a lot of steam, it took one away from the other there, so I'm thinking that the Bella Twins end up winning this match, and AJ Lee and Paige, I don't know if they really implode, but one causes the other the loss. And then what'll happen the next night on Raw, the Bellas will come in and say they've beaten everybody and that they are the best family in the business. Now let's cue Charlotte's music and have her come out. And then she'll talk about her family with the Flares, of course, and win the belt at that point. So you can mark that one down as a win for the Bellas at WrestleMania and a loss of the title the next night. From there, let's go to the tag team title match with Kid and Cesaro, Los Matadors, New Day, and the Usos. Due to the injury by Jimmy Uso, I can't really see them taking the belts. And the other two teams, let's face it, they're gimmick teams and they don't need a belt. So I'm thinking Kid and Cesaro still need to keep that belt. And if they keep it, they may be able to push it up to a higher level than what it is at right now. So from there, the Intercontinental title ladder match, Bad News Barrett, R-Truth, Stardust, Harper, Ziggler, Bryan, and Dean Ambrose. Now, in my heart of hearts, I would really like to see Bad News Barrett retain this belt. But I think they want to push this belt to a higher level. And there's only one guy in the group that will be able to do that right now. And that's Daniel Bryan. So I could see him winning this ladder match here and working on pushing this to another level. So then from there, let's get to the United States title match, Rusev versus Cena. Folks, I'll profess right now, I'm a John Cena hater. I absolutely detest the guy. I don't detest what he could do. I just don't think he's done enough in terms of what he could do in the ring. He's more than a five-move wonder, and McMahon won't let him do that. So personality-wise, he's a great guy, but in the ring, I just can't stand what he pulls out here. So, but with that being said, Rusev's going to get fed to Cena. Cena's going to win that belt. They got to find a way to get this U.S. title meaning a little bit more than what it does right now. So the only way they're going to be able to do that is have Cena having a major title like that. From there, we're going to go to Bray Wyatt versus The Undertaker. While Bray has been carrying the match with promos, I think he's also going to carry the match here. However, I feel that The Undertaker, a lot of people have doubts in what his ability is, and this is going to show that he still has it, and he's still going to get a victory here, setting up for his final match next year at WrestleMania in Texas, in his home state. So I'm going to mark The Undertaker for a win on that one. Now, Triple H versus Sting. I think it's going to be the same way here. Sting coming in. Triple H is showing the Mr. McMahon thing from 10 years ago, where he's being a thorn in the side to Sting. He has everything against Sting and everything that he believes in. And Sting is producing the Stone Cold Steve Austin of the new era, fighting the authority. And eventually he's going to win against the authority. His first match in WWE is going to be a victory. And this is the beginning of the start between the Undertaker Sting main event at WrestleMania 32. So, and finally, the World Heavyweight title match, Lesnar versus Reigns. Folks, this is going to be a very ugly match. Very, very ugly. As opposed to the Divas match, which will be very dirty, which is a whole different ballpark here. The Lesnar-Reigns match will be very ugly. But I do see Reigns retaining the belt. I see Reigns, following the match, giving Lesnar a spear due to unsportsmanship. Confirmed that heel turn that that Reigns is doing, and all of a sudden you're going to hear Rollins' music come on. Rollins is going to come down, cash the belt, and win the World Heavyweight Championship against Lesnar. The other reason why I say that Rollins is going to come down and cash in, WWE does not allow all heels or all faces to win all their major championships. If Cena wins and Bryan wins, just as I mentioned earlier, Lesnar being a face at this point, that'll be all faces winning all three belts. They don't want that. So they're going to have Rollins cash in, get the belt. This truce between Heyman and Triple H is going to end, and there's going to be a hell of a feud going on for the next few months. If Lesnar re-signed, I'd see you have to do a few more matches, but I could see Rollins losing the belt next month, but that's not this month, folks. With that, that is my WrestleMania predictions. You think I'm an idiot? You think I'm smart? You think I got it right? You think I don't? Well, let me know. Enter our WrestleMania predictions contest where you can win two tickets to the Leo Burke Cup. Or hell, if you can't make it to the cup, I'll buy you a box of Smarties in terms of our Smartie Cup here. So all the details will be coming up here in just a second. Now, don't forget to check it out. And the deadline for entries is 8 a.m. this Sunday. So check it out. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network WrestleMania Predictions Contest. We will be giving away two pairs of tickets to the Leo Burke Cup presented by Monster Pro Wrestling on May 2nd, 2015 from the Alberta Avenue Hall in Edmonton. How do you enter, you ask? Well, entering is easy, just two simple steps. One, like and share the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network Facebook page. That's at www.facebook.com/EdmontonSPN. And two, send an email to EdmontonSPN@gmail.com with the subject line WrestleMania Predictions and list everyone who's going to win. It's as simple as that. There will be two prizes given out. One pair of tickets to the person who gets the most number of matches correct, and one pair will be drawn at random from everyone who enters. Complete contest rules are available on our Facebook page as well as on the Podbean website, edmontonspn.podbean.com, and our WordPress page, edmontonspn.wordpress.com. The contest is open now, so get your entries in before March 29th. And now, back to your regularly scheduled programming on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. All right, folks, and don't forget, make sure you get your entries in by this Sunday at 8 a.m. And in the words of Chris Benoit, prove me wrong. With that, I'm going to move on to my top 10 WrestleMania moments. Now, all right, I have a caveat on this, folks. My top 10 are matches that none of the other panelists on our WrestleMania prediction show had as their top 10s. I wanted to have a unique set of matches here. A lot of these matches don't get the respect they deserve, or the wrestlers involved don't get the respect that they deserve. I found most of these matches rather exciting for one reason or the other, and there are a lot of underdog matches on here, so I will admit that most of the WrestleManias in the 20s I wasn't a big fan of. Just the overall quality in the teens and the single digits was that much better in my opinion. So with that, I do have to give my perverted honorable mention, so bear with. My honorable mention, WrestleMania 22, Tori Wilson defeats Candice Michelle in a pillow fight. Two Playboy Playmates pillow fight. Do I really need to explain this anymore, folks? All right, enough with the fun stuff. Let's get a little more serious here, folks. My number 10, WrestleMania 25, John Cena versus Big Show versus Edge. Now, trying to go on after Undertaker Michaels was, let's just face it, an impossible task. But the one thing that did set it up and got that final pop right at the end, John Cena puts Big Show and Edge on his back to do a final FU to secure the victory. That is why I think that this match here was one of the unheralded stars at that point. So, my number 9, WrestleMania 17. Triple H versus Undertaker 1. Now, this was the first honest-to-goodness street fight for The Undertaker at WrestleMania, and it definitely did not disappoint. If you get a chance to check it out, check out when they're in one of the camera towers, because the fight that they carried on and right around that camera tower, that was rather interesting, to say the least. My number 8, we're going back to WrestleMania 6. The Colossal Connection versus Demolition. Now, the match wasn't 5-star. Don't get me wrong here, folks. Haku had to be in the match for the entire time. Because Andre, let's face it, he's on his last legs, not able to do much anymore. But at the end of the match, when Andre was tied up at the ropes and Demolition gave Haku the devastation device for the 1-2-3 and took the belt, Heenan went livid on Andre, asking, well, where were you? Yeah, blah, blah, blah. He's trying to get him loose, so I don't know what the hell his problem is. Andre the Giant goes face there and absolutely clocks Heenan, slaps him, paintbrushes him a couple times, like a classic paintbrush, and then smacks him real good with a nice right hand, and then proceeds to hit Haku with the same thing. And then as they're getting wheeled out with skylifts, they had skylifts decorated as rings. So Heenan and Haku get in there. Andre grabs him and just throws him out of there. He's leaving on his own as the true winner. And this is the last time we see Andre at WrestleMania. It was a great sight to see him go out on this, especially since earlier he's been such a heel when most of his career he was a big face to all the fans. My number 7 in my what the hell moment of the countdown, or what the hell section, The Miz defeats John Cena to defend the WWE title. No one thought The Miz would win there. Like, through top to bottom, when his highlight title defense is against Jerry Lawler, of all people, you knew that Miz is going in as a huge underdog. But with an assist from The Rock, Miz defeated John Cena and made all of the Cena haters, which I'll openly admit I am one, very happy. I remember sitting in a theater, about 200-250 people in there, and the whole crowd's crying about this, and I'm just laughing and pointing at him, and yeah, being a 2-year-old, but hell, I don't care. Now, my number 6, somebody tried to give a big FU to everybody in the crowd. WrestleMania 17, Austin versus Rock. Austin turns heel in front of 70,000 people in his home state when he accepted a chair and shook the hand of Mr. McMahon. I think they were trying to go for a little NWO, WCW, Hogan turning heel, Austin turning heel thing here. Didn't give the same results. Austin had that lack of authority before. You're not going to turn him heel by making him do it even more to an extent. So, but I did like how the effect happened at the match. Like, everybody's like, what the hell's going on here? Hitting him with the chair and then getting the victory. So, number 5 moment. Going back to WrestleMania 6, Sky Dome, Toronto, Ontario. Ultimate Warrior defeats Hulk Hogan for the dual titles of the Intercontinental and the WWE Championship. This was the first time that Hogan got to pass the torch along to somebody else. In hindsight, it may not have been the best choice, but the way the match worked out and the way the match finished, it actually turned out looking really good. And it really showed the character of both Hogan and the Warrior, showing Warrior's true metal and Hogan's pure class at that point. My number 4, we're going to WrestleMania 2000, also known as WrestleMania 16. Triple H versus Big Show versus Foley versus The Rock. This is the first time that the WWE title was defended against more than one challenger in the same match. It had a McMahon in every quarter, and the storyline played out beautifully with a heel turn right at the end. Ironically enough, this is the first WrestleMania ever to have a heel walk out of the arena with the heavyweight championship. My number 3 and my number 2 feature one of the best Canadians ever in the ring. It's sort of a toss-up for where I'm going to put these two, but I listed them this way just because of who's involved in the number 2 match there. My number 3, WrestleMania 8, Bret Hart versus Roddy Piper. Absolutely phenomenal match for the IC title. technically sound match, great all around, great finish with Piper put Hart in the sleeper, Hart having the sense of mind to go run up the turnbuckles, fall back, and get the 1-2-3 on the back slam with that. My number two match, the opening match from WrestleMania 10, Bret Hart versus Owen Hart. This is the match where Owen finally came to be as a major player in the WWE. Everybody knew he could do it. Everybody knew that he could do it. Everybody thought he should be at a higher level. And that match actually brought him into that upper echelon there. So, and my number one, I sort of cheated here. It's actually over two WrestleManias. We're going to go back to WrestleMania 4, where Macho Man won the heavyweight championship after Hogan hit Ted DiBiase in the back with his chair while he's got the $1 million dream on Savage. This began a run of over a year where they developed a storyline where the Mega Powers were formed and then eventually split, causing the main event of WrestleMania 5 where the Mega Powers exploded. You will never see a storyline like that ever again, because the only way you could do it is if you set it up similar to what they had at WrestleMania 28-29 with Cena and The Rock. And even then, that wasn't a great way to set it up, because they essentially forced The Rock to have the WWE Championship, being CM Punk at the Royal Rumble prior to. Wasn't the best setup, but this one was way better, WrestleMania 4 and 5. If you guys haven't seen any of these matches, please, I highly recommend you check them out. They are on the WWE Network, and also, you know, they're available on DVD. And just get out and look for them, folks, because they definitely are worth a watch. But with that, that is my top 10. Let me know what you think. Please email me at theblowcallshow@gmail.com. My Twitter account is @MikeTheRef. Like and share our Facebook page, facebook.com/EdmontonSPN. Hell, if you don't like what we're doing, please let us know too. We always are willing to change things up here. And speaking of changing things up, there's going to be a little quirk in the schedule here for EdmontonSPN here. Next week, of course, will be the Wrestling Clarity with Andre C, where we'll be talking PWA as well as WrestleMania, along with his interview with Steven Styles and Cujo. The following week will also be a Wrestling Clarity episode. It will include an interview with PWA wrestling star Frenetico, as well as a review of the Monster Pro Wrestling Show going up on April 4th from the Alberta Avenue Hall. My next Blown Call Show will be taking place Tuesday, April 14th. That is the day before the playoffs start in the NHL. I will be focused on my predictions for NHL playoffs, and I'm sure I'm going to have some wrestling comments in there too, and my thoughts on WrestleMania. And also, my top 10 that week will be top 10 playoff upsets. So that'll be in 2 weeks with the Blown Call with Mike the Ref here. And also, don't forget about our Leo Burke Cup Series. We just had our interview with Massive Damage and our biography on Leo Burke himself. Next week, next Friday, we are going to have our part two of our series talking about the format of the event, as well as an interview with Monster Pro Wrestling star and last year's winner of the Leo Burke Cup, Jack Hammer. That will be on the Road to the Leo Burke Cup on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. But with that, I'm going to send it out for this week. Now, just remember, folks, referees always have a tough job, so be nice to them. But they will occasionally have a blown call. And this is the Blown Call with Mike the Ref on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. Thanks a lot, everybody.